You are listening to Shift Your Spirits. I'm Slade Robertson. For 12 years, I've been a professional intuitive and author. I try to talk about spirituality and personal development with fewer hearts and flowers than most New Age blather. I also mentor emerging intuitives, psychics, and healers in a program called Automatic Intuition. It is Saturday, March 10th, 2018, as I record this. I'm about to go see a matinee of A Wrinkle in Time. I'm hopeful that they've done justice to one of my favorite books from childhood. I'll let you know. Black Panther, by the way, was just as amazing as everyone says it is, so if you have an opportunity to go see that on the big screen, it's definitely one of those you should go to the theater and see. I'm happy to be back recording new shows for you. I've got an episode coming up about blue-skinned aliens, a surprising topic that sounds a little coast-to-coast for me, but hopefully you'll understand where I'm going when you hear it. And you did want more woo-woo, so I'll try to give it to you. I've got another episode coming up in this new season about how I use sign language when communicating with spirit guides. But I'm also happy to share some more down-to-earth observations about how to hack your willpower and how I have chosen to cope with the flame war environment online. There's a paranormal memoir coming up about a ring I have that was blessed by Pope John Paul posthumously. Yes, that's an interesting story I have not shared with many people. So yeah, lots of recording going on here as we go into our second year. I'm sure these milestones will get less exciting and I won't be so bubbly about every statistic. But I do think it's important to acknowledge these moments you thought you might never get to. And then you work and you do get to them and it's easy to breeze past them and focus on some bigger, better goal. Which goes along with the topic of this episode. This week I have a message for you about trying too hard. So if it's been coming up for you lately that you're spinning your wheels, or maybe you're not seeing the results it seems your efforts should be producing, or you feel like there's never enough time in the day to pursue all that purposeful stuff you really want to get to in this life, hang with me for a few minutes. I might have some ideas about how we can bust out of these prisons of our own making. I'm ready to try something different. As always, there's an oracle segment at the end of the show, so be thinking about a question or a concern you have. Hold it in your mind, and I'll come back on after the final links and credits and leave you with that extra channeled message. Before I forget, I want to say a quick thank you to my newest supporters on Patreon, Vincent Puza. Vincent, thank you for all the chat back and forth about show topics and recommendations. I love special requests when you have them. Anne-Marie Sullivan, Dr. Melissa Bird, Bernadette Nadeau, and Anna Holden, who all gave me a thumbs up, high five, and said their pledges are meant to keep doing what I'm doing and keep the shows coming. So thank you. I will do my best. And thanks to David West, who made a special one-time donation outside of Patreon for show transcripts. I appreciate all of you who've pledged your support, and I'm really excited to see the new names each week. It demonstrates that you're enjoying this show and you want it to continue, and that's very encouraging to me. Listeners who support the show on Patreon can access a guided meditation called Messages from Your Spirit Guides, exclusive bonus episodes, and there's also a mastery level of support where you can download one of my courses for free each month. This month, the featured course is Automatic Writing Lessons. To find out how you can become a patron, support my time in producing this show, and access all the extra bonus content, please go to patreon.com/shiftyourspirits. I don't know about you, but I am exhausted with trying. With working, with doing, with straining, with pushing and reaching, with clenching and holding my breath and judging myself. On the one hand, there's discipline and all that, and I'm very disciplined, slow and steady. Committed to assigning blocks of time to all the things I want to get done and fiercely protecting them from resistance. But if I'm so good at being disciplined and productive, why am I talking to myself like I'm not? There has to be some middle ground. I think what I'm experiencing here personally is a pendulum swing in the other direction. Last year, introducing podcasting into my work and finding time for it in my schedule was a big requirement of discipline and establishing systems and discovering which rules I had to follow before I could start throwing any out. And I'm ready to ditch some shit, guys. And the first place that I'm starting is with to-do lists. I'm lumping iPhone reminders in with this because that's my to-do of choice. You know, if it's important but kind of small, it'll get done immediately. Or if it's too big to forget and it hangs in the sky like a spaceship in the movie Arrival until I engage with it, I'm not going to forget an enormous flattened black shard ominously looming over my landscape. I don't need to write that down. Remember to make contact with large alien spacecraft. That's ridiculous. That doesn't need to be on a list. I have friends, and I'm not singling any one of you out if you're listening, so don't think I'm talking about you. I can name a dozen of you guys, and at least 10 are worse than you are about this. So I have friends who claim to be addicted to having a physical day planner. They all say the same thing. They need to see it there in writing physically, or they feel like they can't manage it. It gives them a feeling of control over all the stuff they have to keep up with. By the way, that's the same impulse hoarders have. They feel less anxious if they see all the stuff lined up on top of physical surfaces. Things that are put away, tucked in cabinets and organized in bins, might get lost to the void. Having all the stuff at your fingertips, carrying it around with you in a tote bag or a ginormous purse, helps you feel less anxious and more in control. I get it. I carry a huge briefcase. But does it really, or does it really only create artifacts, tiny physical manifestations of your anxiety? What happens if you go planner free? Anybody willing to try it? I'm not talking about client appointments, doctor's appointments, things that involve other people's businesses or your shared family and kids' calendar on the kitchen wall. But consider how much you're duplicating. That's where we might find the real issue. Anxiety-fueled duplication. Ceasing the crap out of every facet of your life. Making a backup and then a copy of the backup. If you have an appointment card under a magnet on your fridge, is it also on a to-do list and on your phone calendar? And you probably have more than one digital calendar too, don't you? And then on your phone reminders, and then physically written in your day planner and put on one of those list pages in the back of the planner or the ones that come in the margins. Or maybe you throw it on a sticky note too and leave it on your desk so it's right there in eyeline just in case. No, seriously, are you doing this? This is what I'm talking about with all the trying. What I think it's about, guys, is it's layers and layers of self-doubt and expectation of failure. I'm also not doing any more big email lists. I'm exhausted with carrying big lists. This is the dick size, bus size of internet business posturing. It is super important. It's more important than money. Your contact list is the most important thing ever if you're running an online business or marketing yourself online. It's true. I will continue to beat that drum. It is true. But the size, beyond the 1,000 true fans, it gets increasingly meaningless. It's worse than meaningless. It's actually the inverse of meaningful. It literally costs you more money to maintain large lists, like you're buying tickets for every friend you have, even the ones who never show up and are never going to. I am pruning my lists. I hear gasps from all the people with internet-based businesses as I say that. But I'm cutting dead weight. I'm deleting those who don't read and click and interact with me. There's 30,000, 40,000 zombies I'm carrying around. And there are 2,000, maybe 3,000 of you who are actually truly participating. And that's more than enough to support my work. If you're hearing the sound of my voice at this moment, you are one of the chosen. You chose yourself. You chose me. And thank you for being here. The rest are kept around because of fear of missing out, I guess. Fear of someone asking me how big my list is and not having a huge number to impress them with. Sometimes it is actually a barrier to participate, but I'm no longer asking my collaborators about their list size. I'm going to start by removing my energy from the hive mind on this issue. It is not a requirement to be a guest on my show. Your personality and your message and your energy and the cool thing I like about you is what matters. And I'm getting rid of statistics in my business dealing with things that don't reflect that. It may hurt when someone says you need 5,000 people on your list in order to participate in this author cross promotion. I may regret pruning 25,000 people. Gulp. Whoops. They weren't going to bring anything to the game, though. And if I'm not being invited because of who I am and what I do in the world, then I don't want to play with you anyway. I don't want to be a member on your panel or whatever it is. What if I don't do the thing everybody told me to do and I end up regretting it? Sidebar. That's an ever-present thought. It really is. It's a mind virus. And you probably have your own strain of career mind virus specific to your work and field. But if I stop and really analyze that, it's almost never true. I can't find any decent instance where I intuitively broke from the herd and regretted it at a deep soul level for months and years later. Anything that might kind of look like that in the moment ends up being a detour I was meant to take, and so everything is kind of okay further along in the story. It tends to come out in the wash, so to speak. Something else I'm getting rid of trying is no more paid advertising. You know, I'm so sick of worrying about whether or not you are my target. In marketing, we are constantly told to define our target market. And I'm here to say, after 15 years of hearing that and doing it, and your audience, your followers, are not targets. You're the target. You're their target. So just be one thing. You, and do the hell out of it, and let everyone decide whether or not they dig you. End of story. They're shooting queries into Google, into the universe, and they hit something you made. Bullseye. Awesome. They will know it, and you don't even have to. Which is easier? To be a big, deep, bright, red, authentic, cool, relatable target hanging out there for everyone to find? Or to shoot a million differently tweaked arrows at a gazillion abstractions of human beings? No, not doing it anymore. I'm not even trying to do that anymore. I'm taking back that energy. I'm also not doing this thing anymore called writing to market. This goes along with the whole target concept. It's trying to play this fortune-telling, educated guess thing about what creative projects to pursue based on their potential to sell and which keywords are, you know, more lucrative and all that crap. And I gotta tell you, nothing makes me feel like I'm trying too hard more than that stuff. Many authors and speakers and artists and business people do this with practical success. It's the reason why a lot of people base their business this way. But when it's just you and it's your passion and you're intending to inject something with pieces of your soul and then hang it out there in the world, it's exhausting and detrimental to the creative process to constantly introduce self-doubt and expectation of failure. Put simply, I'm going to pivot from this trying mindset and create things that are deeper, more specific, more narrow for fewer of you. Beautiful novels that only a special, possibly really small group can appreciate. But I think I need the message and the quality of what I'm putting out there to be legacy level stuff. And that needs to be my goal. Now, whether or not I'll hit that is an entirely different story. But if I'm not even going for that, if I'm trying to do all this other crap, no, that's not going to work. You're either mass marketing some shit or you're making custom luxury items. So get really clear about which one you want to do. This is true of your purpose, of your work. I think it could be true of your relationships as well. How many of you maintain fewer but deeper friendships rather than going out and having a big crowd? It just occurred to me as I'm talking about all this stuff that the word trying also means getting on your nerves or exhausting you. Here's what I've been thinking a lot about in the last few months and how I'm going to go about changing it. Whatever I've done in the past, whatever I've been doing, especially systems that I have in place, I'm going to look at and ask myself, does it have to be this way? For example, I've worked weekends for 15 years. Why? I know why I did it in the beginning. Why have I continued to do it? Another example is my podcast show notes. I just noticed that this morning. I sort of tried to do what other people do, which is always a good place to start when you're doing something new. But after doing them for all these months, I kind of find that they're awkward to execute in their current format, in the order that I've done the information. So I might change those to more accurately reflect the process that I actually really use to put them together. So if you want to participate in this mental exercise with me, ask yourself these questions. Where am I entrenched? Where am I grasping? Where am I continuing to push and not really seeing much in the way of results? Where am I afraid to stop trying so hard? I'm kind of thinking, what's the opposite of a 3x3 strategy? I know, I spent all last year teaching you one of my productivity techniques, and now I'm telling you I'm going to throw it out. If it's important enough, it's not like I will forget its existence. I tend to think about projects and work that needs to be done until, you know, the day I pounce on it, and I just do it. This moment suddenly feels like the moment, and I just execute, or I start it. I have these rhythms that feel good. My dedicated blocks of time I've told you about. There are writing blocks and client blocks and reading blocks and recording time and blocks for exercise and even blocks for downtime. I don't decide what I'm going to do in those blocks sometimes until I get there. And then I spontaneously work within the block and I do whatever feels good in the moment. It's a loose set of rules that feels powerful and flexible to me, so I'll keep those. But then there are some rhythms and some rules that do not feel good to me, like the whole working on weekends thing. That started because years and years ago, I would go to the cafe on Sunday mornings, and my posts to my blog would get picked up by my email service provider for afternoon Sunday delivery. And there was a deadline, like if I got it in by like say 10 o'clock in the morning, it would go out at 1 p.m. And so I got into this rhythm of writing or editing the final draft of a post on Sunday morning, having coffee at the cafe. And that was kind of my deadline. And so I've always worked on Sundays because of that. I don't remotely do that anymore. I schedule all this stuff days in advance. So why am I still working on Sundays if it's not my routine? And if it actually feels bad to be somebody who works on Sundays, that's insane. I'm also going to stop scripting all my solo episodes. I'm going to stop using a template for interviews. I kind of have, you know, this format or this recipe of the way I do interviews. And I was recently interviewed by a friend of mine, Chris Soroy, who said, you know, he doesn't interview topics, he interviews people. And that really stuck with me. So thank you for that, Chris. That got me thinking about the fact that I want my interviews to be not just the talking points that you hear these guests say on all the podcasts they appear on. I'd really like for people to come on my show and get to talk about things no one else ever asked them about. Or maybe they reveal things about themselves that they don't on other shows. That's the kind of idea of going deeper and more narrow and more custom. I'm also going to stop weighing myself on a scale. And I'm going to stop counting portions. I am going to look at the quality of what I eat, and I'm going to judge how I feel in my body and in my clothes. And that doesn't mean I'm not exercising. I already do that part a lot. And you don't have to do any of what I say that I'm going to do, by the way. This might all kind of represent some advanced material or an advanced approach for you. You can certainly use all of my old tools and all of my old advice. It will get you there. It'll work the way I said it did, especially if you're at that point in your journey or in your life, or, you know, if that's speaking to what you feel like you need to do. But if it feels good to you, what I'm saying right now about letting all that stuff go and about not trying so hard, maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe relaxing is going to allow us to move forward in a new way. I have a proven track record of producing and shipping and getting it out there and making money from it and letting people hear me and experience my work and read stuff. And so don't fool yourself here. You can't use this new thing that I'm talking about as a way to procrastinate and avoid stuff. You are only allowed to use this if it allows you to really run and fly, if it allows you to expand, if in this moment you feel clenched and you think, yes, I need sort of to let myself free. I may find out this is a terrible idea. A year ago, I was telling you to do something completely different when Diana Fragman and I were talking about the 3x3 project. That's the opposite of what I'm talking about right now. So if this is a disaster, I will come back and tell you that too. And I'll also share what I discover about this that works. I'm just tired of trying so hard. You know, of straining or trying to control things. I can just feel it in every part of my body. So I think what I need now is a name for this new approach, because naming things is a part of my magic that I definitely want to keep. So I'm thinking maybe I am going to call this something like freestyle. I'm going to try freestyling in as many areas of my life as it seems applicable. So look around in your life. Are you the only one doing what you're doing? You're probably doing something right if that's the case. You might actually be on a better path. So please consider this along with what everybody says you should do. We're always striving to be better. We're always talking about wanting to change ourselves. And I heard a great quote a few weeks ago on The Magicians, the TV show on Sci-Fi. It's a supporting character, not a main character, but she said, instead of trying to change, maybe the brave thing is to be you and accept the consequences. I love that. It's wicked and subversive and rebellious. And when I heard that, I thought, yes, I need a hit of that. That's what's been missing from my New Year's energy that kind of felt like it was stuck in fourth gear. So, what is all my stuff reminding you of in your own life? As I'm talking about all this, what's it bringing up for you? Where are you clenching and grasping and trying too hard? And what might happen if you stop? Thanks for listening to the Shift Your Spirits podcast. For show notes, links, transcripts, and all the past episodes, please visit shiftyourspirits.com. You can subscribe in iTunes or Stitcher or whatever app you use to access podcasts. The show is now available on Spotify if you use that platform. If you'd like to get an intuitive reading with me or download a free ebook and meditation to help you connect with your guides, please go to sladeroberson.com. And if you're interested in my professional intuitive training program, you can start the course for free by downloading the attunement at automaticintuition.com. Before I go, I promise to leave you a message, an answer to a question or a concern you may have. So take a moment to think about that. Hold it in your mind or speak it out loud. I'll pause for just a few seconds right now. Where are you wearing a mask? In what part of your life or which environments or in what circumstances do you find yourself pretending a little bit, fronting, putting on a face? Why do you do it in the first place? Is it something you started doing a long time ago when conditions were different and you felt like you had to? Have you considered whether or not wearing that mask is even relevant anymore? You think it's protecting you. It's making you invisible and keeping you from fully engaging. Power and truth and being yourself are easier. They're simpler. Where's your mask? Take it off and see what happens. And I'll talk to you later.